preacher talking about three wooden crosses on a hill for everyone to see. Two sinners on the outside couldn't save themselves if they tried. All I could think is, man, that sounds like me. Cause I've been the one on the left full of guilt and regret, long gone on the wrong side of living. The one on the right always looking for a fight, thinking I can never be forgiven.
Sing the chorus with us.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, we pray that Chris and Joy have a great weekend. They deserve it. And so we're going to share in the service today. Marlene's going to teach, as she said, not preach today. She's going to teach today. So she'll be our speaker today. This is also All Saints Sunday. And we'll have a special time in this worship service where we will recognize the saints who passed, particularly within this last year in this church, and also those of your family and friends that you would like to mention during that part of the service. We're going to begin our service. Jason's going to lead us in call to worship at Sanctuary. Well, let's all stand.
Y'all help me. I don't know the chorus. Lord, prepare me to a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
One more time.
Lord, prepare
Remain standing for the opening hymn, which is Fairest Lord Jesus, in your hymn book, is 185. Sunday, we take a moment to begin this praise and worship service by offering our praise on something that's either happened with us during the week, this time, that you'd like to give God the glory for. So we'll take a moment for you to share your words of praise and testimony during this past week or any time, something you just want to praise God about. So let's hear from the congregation today. What's your praise? Yes.
Yes. I'm so grateful for that.
Yes.
I'm thankful that the Lord always fights my battles for me.
Amen. Okay. Who else?
I have a praise and prayer request. We are going to have a new grandbaby this week.
Oh, wow.
Zadie's going to be induced on the 9th. So if you guys can just keep them in their prayers, and we're so excited.
Do we know what it is?
A little girl.
Little girl. Okay. We'll pray for that. In the back.
It's very sick.
He's saying Waylon's sick.
Oh. Waylon's sick. Oh, okay. We'll pray for him, okay? Is that okay? All right. In the back.
I'm just thankful to be here. I've been sleeping on and off since the October, so thank goodness I feel like being here, and I'm glad to see everybody.
Great, great.
We miss you, I tell you.
Yes. All right. Any other praise or praise? Yes.
I'm just thankful that Mandy got to her destination and she's having a good weekend in New York.
Oh, good. New York. Okay, I'm glad she got there too.
There you go. It's been a weekend for me too.
Okay.
Worried about her.
Did I see a hand go up right here? Did you raise your hand? No. Oh, I thought you wanted to have a praise. Oh, okay. I thought you were doing like this. Yes.
My grandson, Glenn, is home from the hospital.
Oh, good. Great. Good. That's great. Any other? All right, let's share our prayer concerns today, if you would. Any prayer? Yes, ma'am.
My son, Philip, is 55, and he's got pink eyes. So y'all please pray for him. I don't know if he's going to miss work or not, but he's got the pink eyes.
All right, we'll pray for the pink eyes. All right. Who else? Yes.
Keep prayers in for my father. He was up there in Ohio last week. No need to pray for healing. I just want everybody to pray that he has a quick, peaceful exit from this life to his next life.
Okay.
And as well, for my family, I'm hinging on making the right decisions.
We'll pray for you. Mm. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
My mom's surgery on her thyroid is Wednesday.
All right, what's her name?
Joan Wood.
Joan? Okay. Any other prayer requests? Yes, ma'am.
Deborah C.
Cease?
Okay.
Any others? Okay. We will have a prayer for all of these needs, but we want to join that together with our All Saints observance today. In the bulletin, well, in the charge conference from last week, we had, let's see, where's those names? I wanted to read the names of those who were, we recognized in the service. And if you're a family member and would like to stand as we observe our All Saints Day, we'd ask you to do so. Doris Lancaster. Clint Butler, Lois Johnson, and Marion Finch. Now, if you would remain standing, and we ask the congregation now, if there are others in your family or friends that have passed within this last year that you would like to name, please do so and stand. Anyone.
Ruth Campbell, Julie Smith, and Mary Wolfe.
Okay.
Ollie Walker and Leslie Roper, we're both kind of grandfathers.
Okay. Smith.
Vicki Gray.
Vicki Gray. Okay.
My husband, Robert Charles Taco Talanges. We were in the process of becoming members here when he had his accident.
Okay. Who else?
Bud Blankenship.
Okay, Bud. All right.
Reverend Ronald Schwinn.
Okay.
Nancy Thomas and Brent Lancaster.
Nancy and Brent. Okay. Any others? Now, reverently, would all of you stand with these who've named names who have passed? Would we all stand together? And there is a prayer that we will say as a congregation. And let us pray together. God of all ages, all blessings, honor, and glory, all wisdom, praise, and thanks be yours. O God of our salvation, we pray in communion with all the saints on earth and in heaven, with the martyrs and the faithful in all ages, and in the name of the Lamb who was slain, who alone is worthy of worship. Your saints who lived in faithful service, surround your throne and offer your praise and worship both night and day. May we, your saints on earth, join our voices with theirs to proclaim your rule of righteousness and peace, which comes to us through Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. Remain standing as I pray. Father, this is the day that we rejoice for those who've gone to glory, your saints, but it's also a day of looking back and remembering the pain of grief and sorrow and loneliness. And that abides in this building right now, for when we mention those names, that pain comes to the surface. So we join together as saints, and we hold each other's hearts together, and we pray for those particularly family members who've lost their loved ones this past year. Touch their heart with your comfort. Let them know that during this time and time to come, you are working to help heal the wound, to make the painful memories precious in the days to come. We all join together because you've told us as the body of Christ, when one suffers, we all suffer together. When one is in pain, we also feel that pain. And when there's time for us to rejoice and shout, we rejoice and shout together. So come, Holy Spirit, touch each heart here today that is grieving and mourning. And may we as a congregation bear the pain of grief with them. And now as the saints here on this earth, let us join together and pray the prayer of our Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. I want to ask Jason to come right now and to sing a special song for All Saints Day.
I have seen my last morrow. I am holding my last breath. Goodbye, sweet world of sorrow. My new life begins with death. I am standing on the mountain. I can hear the angel's song. I am reaching over Jordan. Take my hand, Lord, lead me home. All my burden are behind me. Amen. I have prayed my final prayer. Don't you cry over my body, 'cause that ain't me lying there. You know I'm standing on the mountain. I can hear the angel's song. I am reaching
take my hand, Lord, lead me home. And I am standing on the mountain, I can hear.
Thank you, Jason. Just a few announcements. If you look in your bulletin, Tuesday, the regular Bible study in the Life Center at 12:30, 7 p.m., the Methodist men meet at 7 p.m. in the Life Center. Thursday, Operations Christmas Child Shoebox Stuffing. Jess, you want to say anything about that? Okay. And then our prayer time on Thursdays at 7 p.m. in the sanctuary. I don't think Kevin had an announcement.
I do.
Okay.
Unless somebody else has one. No? When the transition committee met with the council, there were quite a few changes and things that were being addressed. And over the coming months, we hope that you'll see some signage change and some other things. That were done. One of the other duties was for us to find a new hymnal. And after much research, I think we found it. Everyone that I passed it around to was well pleased with it. They looked through it. And so the council voted that we purchase these hymnals. Our goal, I believe, is to continue having all three of these hymnals, these only replacing the red. And if we can find some black stickers to place upon the emblem, then we can keep these. And surely somebody can find some 2x2 black stickers where we can cover this and continue to use this emblem as well. And of course, it would be a tragedy and a travesty if we continue not having the coats there. There is no cross of blame on this book, so I don't believe, by what I understood, the agreement to read the name on there, I don't think matters that much. It's the emblem is what they're so concerned with. But this is the hymnal, and the council did vote for the church to purchase 100 of them to begin with, and that's going to be around $3,000. And so I'm asking the congregation from now to the end of the year, if you feel led to please, maybe give a little extra in the offering plate and designate it for the hymnals. And maybe by the end of the year, we would have enough to purchase the first 100. We also will purchase some accompany books for the organ and piano and the likes, but I'm encouraging the congregation to be prayerful and consider this and over the next couple of months. Give a little extra, put it in the plate, designate your gift either on a check or cash in an envelope, and by the end of the year, I think we will have enough to purchase these. So that's all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, it's the time for our blessings and tithes and offerings. I'm going to ask Kevin to come and share.
That's right.
Let us receive our tithes and offerings to the Lord.
Thank you. Let's pray. God of all ages, is that prayer said, we thank you for the names that we mentioned that are so dear to us, whom we miss. The thanksgivings in our hearts explode with just thoughts and memories and the goodness of your love towards us. We thank you for the people that we named, those that we didn't name, people that made an impact in our lives, people that made an impact in this body. We thank you for all your provisions and your protection for us, how you bring us joy even in times of grief. And because of that thanksgiving, Lord, we bring our offering to you. We place it upon your altar and pray that it blesses you and that it advances your kingdom through this body called Walnut Grove. We give thanks to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand for the gospel reading. The gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 47 through 51. Hear the word of the Lord. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us present our offering. Thank you.
Our speaker this morning is the certified lay speaker for Walnut Grove Methodist Church, Marlene Moore. And I remember charge conference last week that she insisted that she was a teacher, not a preacher. So I got to thinking about that. If you read the Gospels, a great deal of Jesus speaking was teaching. So our ears and hearts are open, Marlene.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to talk a little bit this morning about bread. Some of my fondest memories growing up and then coming home when we were living away from home was sitting and watching my mother make biscuits. She would mix the flour and the shortening and the buttermilk and roll them out and cut them with a fine sausage cane, just a small one. Her little biscuits were small. But she put them in the oven, and when they came out, they were like about that tall. Melt in your mouth. I don't know anybody that doesn't like bread of some kind. You go into the grocery store, and there's just aisles, different kinds of bread. You have sandwich bread, hot dog buns, hamburger buns, wheat bread, honey wheat bread, just too many to name. But when we were growing up, to have a sandwich or a hamburger bun or a hot dog bun was a treat for us because we ate biscuits and cornbread every meal. So when Mother was able to get something for sandwiches, that was a treat for us. The first instance in our scripture about bread was from Matthew 14. I'm going to get myself together here. The feeding of the 5,000. Matthew 14, verse 13 through 21. Now when Jesus heard this, and he's speaking of John the Baptist being beheaded, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowd heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. In another gospel account of the feeding of the 5,000, it mentions that there was a young boy that had this little bit of lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish. But he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So I've heard preachers over the years estimate there's probably between 15,000, close to 15,000, counting women and children along with them. So I heard this story all of my life, and most of you have, I'm sure. But have you ever stopped to think about how many people, just the 5,000 that they mentioned, out in a field somewhere or on a mountainside? I got to thinking about that. They had no amplifiers, no microphones, and yet they all heard Jesus. That in itself is a miracle, don't you think? The five loaves and two fish, another example of how important bread was then and now. The scripture doesn't say if the little boy's mother was with him. Can't imagine him being in that crowd by himself, but nevertheless, she had packed him more bread than fish. So that kind of gives you an idea. Even prisoners back in the old times were sometimes punished by only having bread and water for their sustenance. So bread has always been an important part of our lives. And I think about the leftovers. There were 12 baskets left over after the 12 disciples had distributed the fish and the bread. Everybody ate, and they still had 12 baskets left over. Jesus provides for us. He provides our food, whatever needs we have. One thing that I noticed in each of the scriptures that I'm going to be reading is when he broke the bread, he blessed it before he broke it. And I thought that was very interesting too. Why bless bread? But in thinking about it, I feel like more than the bread itself, he was blessing the people who were going to receive it. Our next example of bread, it was the first communion. Luke 22:19-20. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." When we have communion, usually Alan makes a big loaf and Pastor Chris breaks it. And then he takes breaks pieces of it off to give to us to take as Christ's body. Just as Jesus shared with his disciples. This final instance and scripture is my main point, actually. The road to Emmaus. How many of you have been to the retreat, the walk to Emmaus? I have. If you haven't, you really need to. It's a life-changing experience. It truly is. And the scripture is based on Luke 24, verse 13 through 35. That very day, two of them were going into a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Remember that, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. Now this is actually on Resurrection Day, but they don't know the meaning yet. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know what the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, Some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, "O foolish one, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going, and he acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem." And they've already come 7 miles, and they turn around and go back to Jerusalem. "And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has indeed risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told him what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." One of the things that I noticed in each of the scriptures, he blessed the bread before he broke it. I thought that was very interesting. They had come 7 miles from Jerusalem. That's a long way to walk, even now. But when they recognized him, they turned around and went back to be with his disciples. Their eyes were opened. I always thought it was interesting that Jesus didn't allow them to recognize him or know who he was or anything about him until he chose the time to reveal himself. So I wonder, have our eyes been opened to the real Jesus? Or are we thinking only of stories we've heard? Maybe some preaching that hasn't been quite biblical? Think about it. Their hearts were ablaze. Can you remember when you were first saved and you had a fire? You had a fire for Jesus. You wanted to serve him as best you could. You wanted to tell everybody. I love the way John Grizzle goes up to perfect strangers sometimes and he says, "Let me tell you about my Jesus." Most of us wouldn't have guts enough to do that. But John's fire has kept burning. And I'm sure that a lot of it's because he realizes how good and faithful God has been to forgive him. So let's think about if our hearts are still ablaze like they were when we were first saved, or do we need a rekindling? Then this man got up and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11. I think, maybe because they wanted to be with Jesus' friends, the believers, the ones who had been there and seen that, just as we are encouraged by gathering together with other believers. We need that. We need the closeness, the encouragement, the love of other believers. And when we're home sitting on the couch watching on TV, on Facebook, it's not the same. We might get the same message, but we don't get the same feelings. The last verse on that scripture is, he was made known to them by the breaking of bread. As I said earlier, oh, when he blessed the bread, I think instead of the actual bread he was blessing, he was blessing the recipients of the bread. We all want God's blessings. Sometimes we miss God's blessings sometimes by not doing what he asked us to do. His blessings will become evident in your life if you're following his word and what he asked you to do. It may not be the way that you want something to happen or imagine it to be, but it'll be better. As Sarah and Justin come to sing, examine your hearts. Are they still ablaze as they were when you were first saved? If not, won't you come to the altar and let Jesus stir your fire up again?
Thank you. open our eyes, Lord. Lord, should be on the screen and stand and join in.
Please say a word to Marlene for sharing her message today.